just want to say, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I felt like that was the first thing I needed to say tonight. And I want to thank the Lord for calling me to preach right over there. The choir's changed a little bit, but I can take you right to the spot where the Lord called me to preach. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Fairview Memorial Church. I'm thankful for Brother Miller. I'm thankful for this opportunity that's been afforded to us to be able to come and be here tonight. I'm thankful for all the memories, the precious memories that we have over the years. I am so thankful to be a child of the King. And as this sister said, when she talked about having 20/20 vision, I pray that everybody have a 20/20 clear vision of what and who Jesus is. And what he's all about. That's really what we need. I want you to pray for me. I feel like you have been. It's a great honor. I want to thank the ones that have come to be with us tonight. Some have driven great distances to be with us. I want to thank the two deacons and their wives that came from Faith to be with us tonight in Nashville. Appreciate that. And some that have driven from Louisville. And some just drove down the street. But we're glad that you're here. And we're thankful for all of God's blessings. A few weeks ago, we started a revival a week ago Sunday at Hogan's Creek Missionary Baptist Church in Smith County, Tennessee. And it's obvious that it's way back in the sticks. I don't think you can get there from here. It's a long way away. But the Lord blessed on last Sunday night, a 17-year-old boy who is the star quarterback for the Carthage High School football team, has been since he's about a freshman. He got saved last Sunday evening. Got saved during the first prayer. And then didn't tell anybody because the devil had already slipped in and said, well, you didn't shout and all these other things. But he was just trembling all over. He said something just came over him from the top of his head all the way to the soles of his feet. And he just couldn't wait to tell what the Lord had done for him. His name is Carson. And his grandfather and his great-grandfather, missionary Baptist preachers. And so we just want to thank the Lord for that. But what I want to say is, before I went into that revival, the Lord had already impressed upon me what to preach that first night of that revival and the first night of this revival. And it was almost the identical title to a message. And I thought to myself, well, I can't go and preach the same thing, especially since my wife's going to be at both services, and she'll know that I've done that, and so I don't want to do that. So what I want to do is follow the Lord. Even though I feel like that the message is similar in the start of both revivals, the Lord's directed me in a little bit different way when I studied this out. And we're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to take a text from the 15th verse. I knew several weeks ago when I was praying about this, and I've been praying about this revival for quite some time. I hope everyone has been praying about this revival for quite some time. And the essence of this message is being ready for the revival. Are you ready? I just want to ask that question. Are you ready? I'm not asking lost people, are they ready? I'm not asking saved people. I'm asking, are we ready for revival? Are we ready to give an answer to everyone of the hope that is within us? And we need to be willing to do whatever God would have for us to do. That verse of Scripture says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, is what it says. And it says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, I'm going to read from the 8th verse and the remainder of that chapter in just a moment, but in order to introduce our thought tonight, what I want you to understand is if I title the message, our hope is in Jesus Christ only. That's the theme. That's the message. That should be, as Brother Miller already brought out tonight, all of this is about Jesus Christ and lifting him up. It's all about him. Our hope is all about him. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are, how old you are. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. And you need to know what hope you have. Now, I read I have a word pictures by New Testament by A.T. Robertson, and for some reason I felt like I needed to look at that verse first, and then we'll go into the message as God gives us utterance. But A.T. Robertson said that the word sanctify means do this instead of being afraid. And you might think, what do I have to be afraid of? I'm going to tell you, I was afraid to come here tonight. I'm more afraid to fail God. I'm more afraid of disappointing God. I don't want to disappoint God. All of us that come here tonight, we don't need to be afraid to disappoint God. If God has saved you, the Spirit is within you, and you don't need to be afraid of that. You don't need to be afraid to give an answer. To give an answer. And that word there, afraid, means, the Greek word means apologeo, which in the old sense of apology as an answer back. If someone, and you know, I see a lot of people, they say they claim to know the Lord, they claim to be saved, but then when you start asking them the details about it, they seem to be a little bit edgy. I'll tell you, I've never been edgy about somebody asking me about being saved by God's grace. It's a thrill to be able to tell people that I have been saved by God's grace. I know that I have this hope in me. That's what Peter is trying to convey to us. He's conveying that to us. Now listen, it goes on to say, we should not be afraid in the sense of apology to answer back a defense, and not an excuse or apology as saying you're sorry or some such. What he says is this, we have a reasoning concerning the hope that is in you. When we got saved by God's grace, and anyone that's ever been saved by God's grace, there is something that happens within us. I looked over here at Brother Ernie, and I remember that night. He got saved, and he got up, and we were singing, I've been to Calvary, and he got up, and he began to tell us what had happened in him. And that was wonderful. And everybody that's ever joined this church, I was here over 25 years ago, and it hasn't changed. If a person joins this church and you say, Brother Spurgeon, it's the first night of the revival. Well, I can relate to that. You see, when Brother Miller's father joined the church, I joined the church the first night of the revival, you see, because that's when God led me. Tonight, I don't know what this service and how it's going to roll out, but everybody needs to understand that if you're truly saved, you have a hope. And when I say hope, I'm not talking about being hopeful for something. It's an earnest expectation. We are expecting God to send blessings, aren't you? I am expecting God to send blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And if we'll do our part, God has already done his part. Now, A.T. Robertson went on to say this. He said, this is a hope that is in you. So he says, be ready with a spoken defense of the inward hope. This attitude calls for an intelligent grasp or a knowledge of the hope. You see, you have to have a knowledge of this hope. And that's what Peter is talking about. This hope, and he says, of the hope and skill in representing it is what he's talking about. Peter's saying, sanctify the Lord always in your hearts and be ready always. Not just halftime, not just when you feel like it. I'm telling you, you have got to be ready always, he says, to give what? To give an answer to every man, every person that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know what? My grandchildren, and we've got, you might not know this, but we've got the 9th grandchild on the way. Yes, she's about to be here. Gracie Mae is going to be coming into the world on my spiritual birthday.
Heather chose for her to come into the world on my spiritual birthday, and what a blessing that is. But you know what I look forward to? I look forward to Gracie Mae and Sawyer and all the rest of the grandchildren. One day they might come up to me and they say, Daddy, Ron, that's what they call me, Daddy Ron, can you tell me about getting saved? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take full advantage of that. I'll tell you, every person here needs to take full advantage of giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory for the grace that He has given to us, and a hope, I mean an earnest expectation that not only does He save us for glory and for heaven, but He has saved us to be the Lord of our lives every day of our lives if we'll let Him. And I want Him to be the Lord of every service that takes place. Now, that's just the introduction of the message. Now let's get into the message and go to the 8th verse of this same chapter, and let's look at what it says. He says, finally, in the first eighth verse of the first chapter of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, finally, no, that's the third chapter. That's why everybody's looking at me strangely. I had that covered up. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's make sure we're all on the same page. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says, finally, and this is important, be ye all of one mind. He says, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing there ye are unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew, that word eschew means avoid evil. He says, and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. If there's ever a revival spirit that there should be, we should ensue after the peace of God so that those that are unsaved would know what it means to be saved. And when you get saved, it's an inward experience. You may express it outwardly differently. A lot of people do. I don't think that any one testimony expressing it outwardly is exactly the same. But you know what? When something is happening inside of you, the one thing that is common among every person that's ever been saved and has the hope in you, that is peace. It's peace. That's what this is all about. So we ought to ensue it, right? We ought to just, I mean, really go after it. And so he says this, let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 12, listen, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, as his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15, our lesson. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ, listen closely, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, that like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, who is gone into heaven, this is important, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, our lesson tonight is our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ only. Our hope is only in Jesus Christ. In the writing here, Peter says he's on the right hand of the Father. And in the book of Timothy, Paul says that he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the one to intercede on our behalf. So tonight, as I come before you, I want to introduce the fact that I'm here, I'm ready, I'm prayed up, and I want to be in the center of God's will. I'm asking, are you ready? Now, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church at Rome, he made this in the first chapter. He said this. He said, I am now ready to preach. He was ready to preach to the Romans. I'm getting ready to start preaching to all of us that are here tonight. But tonight, I want you that are here that are unsaved to understand that what we're getting ready to engage in, what we're getting ready to put our efforts into, what we're getting ready to do is labor for the Lord in love and to point you to Jesus Christ because he is the only one that can fill that void, that can put that peace in there and can save your soul. And so tonight, the Apostle Paul, this is what he said. He said in the first chapter of the book of Romans, first of all, he said, I am a debtor. Now, I want you to know this. Fairview Memorial Church, Faith Church, Lions Church, all these sister churches that have come to worship the Lord tonight, that's what we should have came for, is to come and worship the Lord and to work together. Did you hear what Peter said? He said, we've got to be one mind. We've got to all come together with one mind. We've got to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. And you know what? I'm an indebted to you. Why? Because you have chosen not to come and be a spectator. We don't want you to come and be a spectator. What am I saying? What I'm saying is if God has saved your soul, be ready to give an answer to everyone. The hope that is within you, you know, with meekness and fear, to let people know that God is still real and he's still saving souls. And tonight may be the only opportunity that you have to get right with God. I'm going to tell you, you've got to bring it down to right now. You know, a lot of people say, well, you got to get saved. You need to get saved. The Bible says you must be saved. You must be born again. If you're ever going to go to heaven when this life is over, it's if you're ever going to have the Lord as your King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of your soul, you must get saved. You got to be that serious about it. The Apostle Paul said he was so serious that he was debtor. He said, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks, he said, and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He said in verse 15, so as much as with is in me, is I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And I here tonight at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, and I've come for no other reason to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, him crucified, buried, and risen again, and at the right hand of God, saying, come to me, and I'll give you rest. You know why we need to do that? Paul went on to explain it. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He says to the Jew first, and then he says also to the Greek. I'll tell you, if we get up here, and I'm glad what Brother Miller said tonight, I'm not up here to tell you about my life story. That was the first message I preached here a long time ago. It was only 10 minutes. Many of you may not know that. Some of you weren't here then. Some of you wasn't born then, but that's what it was. It was a 10-minute message that I had studied for 10 or 2 weeks for, and it was only a 10-minute message. But since then, I realized if I'm ever going to be effective, if I'm ever going to please God, that I've got to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be glory and honor. And what we have to do is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what you need to do? You need to water the word. Oh, yeah, you say, well, how are we going to water the word? I will talk about that in just a few moments if God will let us. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, and hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. He said, for the invisible things of him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I pray that you all that are here and not saved will get a clear understanding, that you'll get a clear a vision of where that you're going to spend eternity if you die in the condition that you're in. And I say that to everybody. We that are going to spend eternity in heaven, we need to rejoice and be glad. But you know what else we need to be? We don't need to be selfish. We need to invite people and give them the answers that they're searching for, and then let God's Holy Spirit take the word and penetrate their heart so that they can come to the true knowledge of what salvation is all about. So now let's look a little bit further with this. I'm really excited about the conclusion of this message when I finally get to it, because I'm leading up to something, you see. Brother Moran, he preached a sermon at Fairview a few years ago. It was back in 2009, and he is the title of his message. I'm going to look at it in just a moment. I've got it in my book there, my Bible. I wrote it down, but he says, may I have a witness? Do we have a witness? I'll tell you, tonight that's what we need. We need people to be a witness for God, to water the word, and so that God can give the increase. And so tonight, as we come and we labor together, I want you to understand some things that we're going to talk about in just a little while. But I thought I'd just go ahead and give you a little bit of a prelude of that. But next, I want to go over to the book of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul was getting ready to give up his life as we know it. He was ready to go over into heaven. But you know what? Before he left, he wanted us to understand that he was ready to go. Are you ready to go? I'm talking to every person here tonight. Are you ready to go? Some people that are saved, you say, well, I'm ready to go. I know my soul's saved. But you know, my spirituality, my walk with Lord, my walk with Christ is just not where I'd like for it to be. And so tonight, I want you to focus on that. You see, because somebody, some little boy, some little girl, some grown person who does not know what it means to be saved by God's grace may need to hear what God has put in your heart to let people know about it. Are you going to be a witness, or are you going to shun that, or are you going to just say, well, I'm just not ready to give my testimony? If God wants you to give it, you should give it right then and there, because you don't know who needs to hear it. Maybe I need to hear it. Maybe you need to hear it so that God can hear that you are just so thankful and grateful for what he has done for you. Be ready always. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be always ready to give an answer to anyone, to any person that is ready to hear the hope that you have within us. But then the Apostle Paul, before he left, he gave a charge. He gave that charge to Timothy, and he said this, I charge thee therefore before God. He said, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. He said, be instant in season and out of season. He said, also to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, for the time shall come. And if the time is not here now, I don't know when it's going to be here. But listen, for the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And it says, and they shall be turned unto fables. He says, but watch. He said, watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. And he said, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. Have we really fought a good fight? Could we say that we've really fought that good spiritual fight that we need to think, real hard and pray real hard? The Bible says, Peter says, we need to really pray. If there was ever a man that knew what that meant, it was him. I was listening to the Bible today, and I was listening about Peter, you know. The Lord, you know, he says, the Lord, I'll go with you always. Haven't we made that that promise to God? We'll go all the way. We're going to back you up. We're not going to ever turn our back on you. And the Lord looked at Peter and said, Peter, he says, you're going to deny me three times before that old cock crows. And you know what? He thought he was just kidding with him. He wasn't kidding. I'm telling you, God knows all about it. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's on your mind. And tonight, can we honestly say that we're ready, that we fought a good fight, that we finished the course that he has for us? And he says, and I've kept the faith. He says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them. He said also that love is appearing. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then have you heard about Demas? I'll tell you, that's what we've got. We've got a lot of people that really say that they're saved. But you know what? The reality of it is they're more in love with the world than they are with the Lord. You say, now, preacher, you're done meddling. I'm telling you, if you want to have revival, you're going to have to be more in love with the Lord than you are with the world. And that goes for the preacher. That goes for me. That goes for everybody that really wants to see somebody get saved. But Demas, you know what he said about Demas? He said, for Demas hath forsaken me. And you know what? Not only did he forsake me, he said, having loved the present world and is departed into Thessalonica with the Cretans and the Galatians and Titus and Dalmatia. As you see, there might be a Demas here tonight. And you say, what's a Demas? Well, I'm just going to preach it like the Lord gives it to me. I've seen a few Demases in the church. You say, what are they? I'll tell you what they are. They're backsliders. They're those that are so far away from God that they can't even pray. And then when the Lord comes on the scene, or if somebody says, would you give me a reason of the hope that is within you? Are you ready? Are you ready to tell them your testimony? Are you ready to pray for them? Are you ready to get down to business with God? I'll tell you, church, we need some people that are willing to go all the way with Christ. Well, just felt like I needed to say that. Now I want you to see and hear the final words of Jesus. Have you ever looked at the final words of Jesus? The final words of Jesus in his flesh again. You say, what do you mean in his flesh again? Well, this was after that the Lord was walked on the face of the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. It's where we, as God's people, really need to really think about this message tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to elaborate? Are you ready to witness? Are you ready to testify of the hope that you have in Jesus Christ only? Are you ready to do that? You say, but Brother Spurgeon, I'm not ready to do that. Well, don't wait till next Sunday night to get ready. We need to get ready tonight. We don't need to wait till this Sunday. We don't need to wait till the next Sunday. We need to be ready to come in and prayed up. And you know what? I've seen revival break out here. I've seen it at other churches. And when the revival breaks out, it's because the revival just doesn't stay in the confines of this wall. People began to pray. They come at 11 o'clock. And if they can't get here, they're praying with those that are here at 11 o'clock. And if they can't get the revival off their minds and their hearts, I'll tell you, when people come and they have the mind to work for the Lord, and if we're one mind to see people get right with God, I believe God will bless in a great and mighty way. We'll inherit a blessing, is what Peter said. Did you hear that in the reading lesson? Wouldn't you like to inherit a blessing? I've inherited a few blessings. I've inherited some tonight. I inherited one this morning when I was reading this in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. Actually, 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And I want us to look at that for just a moment as we think about this. And as we think about the response or the thing that the Lord wants me to ask, and that is witnesses, please. Do we have any witnesses, please? And that's what the Lord is asking. Now let's look at this a little bit. In the 36th verse, the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, it says this, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them." Now, I don't know if this is the correct English for today, or maybe some of the older ones might understand, or maybe they may not. But you know what? These people were freaked out. You say, what do you mean? This is a man that was dead. They knew he was dead. He proved he was dead. And they were all shaken to the core. Wouldn't you be if Jesus just walked in the midst here tonight? He's here. You say, how's he here? He said, I'll send my spirit. And he'll guide you into all truth. But you know what? Before he went away, listen to what it says. He says, he stood in the midst of them, and you know what he said? He said, peace be unto you. Now, that don't mean just go to sleep on me. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying be at rest and be at peace, and because you know what he did say? He said, we need to be awake. We need to be alert. Because, you see, Satan as a roaring lion is seeking who he can devour, and he knows he can't get we that are saved, but if he could just rob us of our influence, of our spirituality, and he could keep those that are unsaved, I mean, just so in darkness and blind that he will do everything that he can. And you know what? He'll do that to children. That's just sad, but that's the way it works. But Jesus says, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Is there anybody troubled here tonight? Why are you troubled? Most of the times our troubles are self-inflicted. Did you know that? They're self-inflicted or a lot of our troubles, especially in today's society and where we work, where we live, and all these other things that are going on in our life, those troubles, they may not be self-inflicted, but we're so focused on them that we lose faith. Did you hear what Paul said to the Romans? He said, we shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, you see. We've got to have faith. If people are going to see and witness the great miracles of God, they have got to be witnesses of faith. We cannot deny what has happened. We've got to be ready. But he says, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your heart? He says, behold my hands and my feet. Now what's he saying? What he's saying is, These are where these nails went in. He said, you look at my hands, you look at my feet. After 40 days, there was already some scars there, you see. There was evidence. May have been some healing, but you know what? There was definite evidence that he is who he says he is. Focus on those feet. Focus on those hands. And then he says this, behold my hands, my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for if a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And if there's one thing that Jesus had, is he had what he's trying to do is he's trying to prove to everybody that he is Jesus. And even though he died, even though he was buried, even though he arose, he's still showing them that he's alive, that he's the real thing. He's real. And evidently he had some Baptist tendencies, because you know what? You know how he had to get their attention? He says, have you any meat? That'll get somebody's attention, won't it? What's he saying? He said, I can eat. I'm alive. I'm real. And so as he begins to do that, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it, and he did eat before them. But then listen to what he says. After he's got their attention, for just a few moments prior, they're frightened, they're afraid, and they're just shaken to the core. And then he begins to reason with them to help them understand that this is real. Sinner friend, church, what we are doing here tonight, it's the real thing. It has eternal consequences. What we do here tonight is gonna be in all eternity. Or what we failed to do tonight. But don't look at it that way. Be ready. Be ready to do what God would have for you to do tonight. You say, but Brother Spurgeon, I'll get more rest on Saturday and maybe I'll be better ready to serve him. Let me tell you, all you have is right now. Tomorrow, it may never come. But listen to what Jesus said. He was getting ready to vanish out of their sight. Before he vanished out of their sight, he reminded them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written of the law of Moses and of the prophets and of the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding. If you want to understand what the will is for the Lord tonight in this service, then ask him. Seek him. If you want that 2020 vision, if you want that perfect understanding, then ask him. If you're here and you're saved, and you ask him and say, Lord, I want to be that willing vessel that is willing to do whatever it takes to water the word, to be a witness to someone tonight, to give an answer to everyone. The hope that is within you, that blessed assurance. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved, or very necessary, that Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It still needs to be that way tonight. Repentance and faith. Repentance and getting the things that are distracting us out of our minds, out of our hearts, and being willing and ready to serve the Lord. That's what it's all about. Because he's our only hope. And so as we get ready to finish this message, listen to the last words. He said, and ye are witnesses of these things. Are you truly a witness of the things that God has done for you? Only you can tell it. You're that witness. You're that eyewitness. And Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then it says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. I believe that God still wants to bless his people. I believe God still wants to save those that are lost. And tonight, if you're here and you are unsaved and you want to be saved, then seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And as you're thinking about those things, thinking about these last couple of verses that says, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and he carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Tonight, that's what we've come here for. I've just come here to preach Jesus and Him crucified, buried, and risen again at the right hand of the Father to intercede on your behalf. It's all about Jesus. He's our only hope. This world's only hope. The United States' only hope. Our churches, our families, our homes, our only hope is in Jesus Christ.
So tonight, as we get ready to go into this service, I want to give Him glory and honor. When I started this message tonight, I said, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I can take you to that spot on June 28, 1981, 1612 Cruft Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, where I know that He saved my soul. And He put a hope and a peace in there that when I preach my last sermon or I sing my last song or pray my last prayer, that I'm going to heaven. And I want you to go to. This church wants you to go. Brother Miller wants you to go. Everybody wants you to go. And on October the 6th, 1991, a few weeks prior to that, Dr. Collins stood up and he said in a business meeting, he said, this church, we need to pray that the Lord would call men to preach the gospel. And God was already dealing with me to move my membership here. And if I knew that He was moving my membership here so that on October the 6th, 1991, Brother Wilson Farmer stood up and he said, let us pray, sing out of that Moles book, the prettiest flowers will be blooming. And we started singing that song, the Lord spoke to me. And we were singing, but I could hear it over all the singing. Maybe you've not heard anything I've said tonight, but if you're listening to the Lord and He's speaking to you over all the preaching, listen to Him. If He's talking to you and somebody else is trying to talk to you, and God, I don't know how He does it, but He can do this. Even if somebody's talking to you or while somebody's talking to you, He can still speak to you. And that still, small voice. It's more important to listen to Him even than listening to me. And you need to listen to Him, and as He speaks, feel after Him. As He begins to draw you close to Him. Maybe you've been praying that the revivals, my mother-in-law, she's been real excited about coming to this revival. She said, are you? I said, no, I'm scared to death. I'm scared because I know the great responsibility that we have. But I also know that when I just let go and let God, I haven't been afraid while I'm preaching because I just let go and let Him have His way. And tonight, I want you to do the same. Our only hope is in Christ Jesus. That hope that we have, that hope, as the writer in the book of Hebrews said, that's both sure and steadfast and anchored. One of these days, I'm going to drop that anchor on the other side. But there's one thing that I still know beyond any shadow of a doubt, that He is the anchor of my soul, and He's the anchor of yours if you're truly saved. And if you're not, He needs to be. He must be. Will you let Him be? I'm glad God made it that way, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But who's going to call? When He calls you to come, you've got to come. You say, how do I come? Just as you are. You don't have anything to offer. Not a thing. But I'll tell you, a great price was paid because God gave His only begotten Son. That's what it's all about. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight, if you don't have that, if you don't have that blessed assurance, as we stand and sing, Brother Strode, the altar's open. If you're here and you need to go and to the altar and just get things right with you and the Lord, so you can get things right with you and a brother or a sister. But do it. It'll be well worth it. Especially when we see God send down His blessings and we begin to inherit the blessings that He has for each one of us. Thank you for listening. Pray for me. I'm praying for you, praying for the service. Everybody, just mind the Lord. We'll get back to the question, are you ready? Are you ready to have revival? Are you ready to serve the Lord? Are you ready to get saved? Maybe some of you have been saying, I'm ready to get saved this year. That's a great attitude. Now just do it. Just do it. You say, how do I do it? Get in there and seek the Lord just like all of us that got saved. Until you know that you're saved. You'll know when it happens. And when you do, tell it. Why? Because you now have a reason for the hope that is within you when you get saved. And so you should tell it with meekness and fear. So we stand and sing.
Number 380, 390 at the bottom. Number 390 at the bottom. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus'
Amen.
Name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.